KTOO Public Media would like to acknowledge the Tlenadi of the Akkwan. We are on their ancestral homeland. Our broadcast studios are built on fill that was once tideland and part of what is called the Indian Village. We recognize those families who regarded the tidelands as a source of food and part of their home, who maintained the smokehouses on the tidelands, who parked their boats in the harbor, and who gathered driftwood for fuel. The families of the Juneau Indian Village, like their ancestors, cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront. KTOO is working to lift up Tlingit voices through the sharing of stories like these and the broadcast of the Tlingit language. Please excuse us for our mistakes and gunas chish for your patience as we learn. You're listening to Juneau Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. The power and beauty of the work of Joy Harjo is being celebrated at the Juneau Douglas City Museum this first Friday. Here to tell us all about it is Beth Weigel, director of the City Museum. Hello, Beth.
Hi.
Hi. It was Joy.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being here. So it was Joy Harjo, our U.S. Poet Laureate, who said, quote, "I was born with eyes that never close," and, quote, "remember, you are this universe and this universe is you." I was just wondering, what can you tell me about her?
Well, I guess I can, you know, we know she's our U.S. Poet Laureate. She's a Muscogee Nation, and her book of poetry that we're celebrating, An American Sunrise, is a bestseller, of course, and also the selection for the NEA Big Read in Juneau, which is a program of the Juneau Public Libraries with partnership, of course, with the City Museum and the University. I think Perseverance Theater is in there too as a partner this year. And so it's exciting because it's a book that we're hoping, it's a book of poetry that we hope everyone will want to come and pick up a free book and really start engaging in reading some of these poems of Indigenous displacement, really, is what we're talking about here.
What does it mean for a book to be selected for the NEA National Endowment for the Arts Big Read Program?
Right. Well, the NEA, the National Endowment for the Arts, in collaboration with Arts Midwest, offer this program, the NEA Big Read. They have, I imagine, their own panel of people who decide which books are part of the selection of which books can be chosen for the Big Read. So if you go to their website, you'll find, you know, a lot of all the different books that organizations, when they apply to do an NEA Big Read, can select as their choice. So I know that the Kate Enge, who's applied for the grant from the library this year, she spent some time talking with other people about what to choose. And I know that, you know, it's in conjunction with the One Campus, One Book program out at the university. So Jonas Lamb, the librarian out there who works on that project. So I think it was a local decision to choose the Joy Harjo poems, An American Sunrise, because it does speak so closely to a lot of things that I think we see emerging in our discourse and dialogue about how Indigenous people have been treated over the years and in the past.
Critics have described An American Sunrise as a wisdom quest. What are you hoping people will experience at the City Museum this Friday when they, well, maybe we should back up a little bit. You can tell me what to expect at the event.
Right. So we're hosting the kickoff. And the reason that we offered to host the kickoff to the NEA Big Read is because we are in the last month. October will be the last month of our exhibit, Echoes of War, Ununga Internment During World War II. So there's, I think, a lot of places where we can connect with the poems, even though it's of a different time and a different place, with the themes of the exhibit. And, you know, even in just the little preface that she writes about, you know, on May 28th, 1830, President Andrew Jackson unlawfully signed the Indian Removal Act to force move Southeastern peoples from their homelands to the West, and then goes on to describe how people were rounded up and other people started moving in with all of their cattle and pressure and printing and all the things that you think of as you settle a place. And you know, she writes, there were many trails of tears of tribal nations all over North America of indigenous people who were forcibly removed from their homelands by government forces. And that's what the Echoes of War exhibit really tries to bring out in this untold story of World War II. The movement of people from the Aleutians and the Pribilof Islands, it was a forced move, supposedly for their protection, which, you know, a lot of these poems address that as well. But also, you know, to a place that was far from where they came from, very different, unfamiliar, frightening, lasted much longer than ever anticipated they would be away from their homes. So it's a lot of, just a lot of things connect when you start looking at how Indigenous people have been forced from their homes, whether it's guised in for their protection or it's a little bit more outwardly racially motivated.
Hmm. And the idea is that there will be readings of Harjo's poetry as folks move through the City Museum and look at the Echoes of War exhibit. So what are you hoping people will experience when they do that?
Yeah, so we're still really conscientious about the fact that we're in COVID times, and that we, although we're having an event, we don't necessarily want to frame it as an event where everybody shows up for a poetry reading like you would traditionally think, and everybody sits still and focuses in one place. So we've tried to create a soundscape of the poetry from the book, and we've asked a variety of people throughout the community to record the poems, and so I think we have about 22 recordings of the different poems in the book, a couple repeats, but we'll have that on in the museum as people move through the exhibit. And also our curator will, you know, kind of pop in and talk about how things connect up a little bit between the poetry and the exhibit. But it's more of a soundscape, right? So we'll have poems being read, and then we might take a break, and Nico might jump in on the microphone and talk a little bit about something and how it connects. And we're really excited to have all the different people who have recorded poems for this, who may or may not show up to the museum, we don't know, but we'll have their recordings, and that will be a soundscape. But we're particularly excited that Ernestine Hayes has joined us in a recording. She is, of course, our Marie Darlin Prize winner from the Juno Douglas City Museum, which is a $5,000 cash award for someone whose work has had an impact in our community or our region. And so she's recorded the poem, How to Write a Poem in a Time of War for us, which is in Joy Harjo's book. And I thought I'd just talk about that poem real quickly, because I think it's probably one of the ones that connects us most to the exhibit here at the museum.
Please do. Go ahead.
So this is, again, the title's How to Write a Poem in a Time of War. And, you know, I'm not going to read the whole thing because I think you should come and listen to it. But she basically starts off, she's having a dialogue with herself, trying to decide how to start this poem. And she's like, you can't begin just anywhere. It's a wreck. And then the first stanza really gives us a view into what it's like to be in war. You have images of war that include things that are violent and images of displacement. And I like the one line in that first stanza that says, rumors fall like rain, like bombs. And you really, you know, when you go through the Onunga Echoes of War exhibit, people talk about like these things were happening and all around them. And, you know, they were given that short opportunity to pack one bag. And there's another poem in here that talks about that, right? And so then in the second stanza, she's like, no, we can't start there. That's too horrific, right? That's just too hard. So then she starts again, and she shows a more nostalgic look at where they came from, talking about the nature and the laughter and pretending that war was not coming in that second stanza. And she's like, no, that's not going to work either. So she tries again. Because she says that memory's just too shredded, you know, it's impossible to hold with words, even with poetry. And so she tries one more time, and again, it's another memory sort of start, and it's really looking at something that really tears at the heart, right? You know, the torn pocket of your daughter's hand-sewn dress, the sash, the lace, the baby's delicate beaded moccasins still connected. And she's like, no, We can't do that like that. This is not the best place to begin. We'll never get through it, right? And so she finally comes into the last stanza, and that's the one I want to read for you because I think it really connects with the exhibit. "Someone has to make it out alive," sang a grandfather to his grandson, his granddaughter, as he blew his most powerful song into the hearts of the children. There it would be hidden from the soldiers, who would take them miles, rivers, mountains, from the naval cord place of the origin story. He knew one day, far day, the grandchildren would return. Generations later, over slick highways, constructed over old trails, through walls of laws meant to hamper or destroy, over stones bearing libraries of the winds, he sang us back to our home place from which we were stolen in these smoky green hills. And she finishes with, yes, this is where we begin. And I think as you experience the exhibit in the City Museum, and as we worked with the people, the Onunga people in the Pribilof Islands, that was a very big part of it, is the coming home, the resilience, the healing of from the trauma, and how for a long time, of course, no one wanted to talk about what had happened and the people that died and were left behind in Funter Bay. But now they recognize that, and the stories are told again, and that has brought forth healing and resilience in the community. And they have a remembrance walk every year. And, you know, it's a story that they want the world to know about, because it's been such a forgotten story of World War II. So I think the poems really help us to dig in a little bit deeper to some of the themes in the exhibit. And then we hope that people will have that experience when they come to the Big Read kickoff on Friday.
Wow. Powerful stuff, Beth. And thank you so much for reading us that and for taking us through that poem. It makes me really excited to read the whole book and to attend the event on Friday. I understand that copies of An American Sunrise will be available at the event for free. So yep. Folks can come and grab a book and then get started on reading it. Also, I think when a book is selected for the Big Read, it's sort of unlimitedly available as an ebook through the library's borrowing program.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great.
And I often suggest if you can do an audio version of the book, or even if you just have a couple of friends together, or even if you're by yourself, read it out loud to yourself, because that's how I experienced it the first time. And poetry is meant to be heard. So it's, even if it's just your own voice, I think it's a much more powerful experience.
That's a good pro tip. It sounds like you are all pretty big fans of this book over there.
Absolutely.
Well, this is going to be a great opportunity to do more than just read poetry or hear it, but to really take it in. So thank you so much for the overview of the event that's happening this first Friday, starting at 4:30 at the City Museum.
That's right. And I just wanted to also mention that we are shifting our hours because the season of our visitors is ending here in September. So starting on the 30th, we'll be back to 10 to 4, except for, of course, first Friday on the 1st. We'll open at 10 and be open till about 7 with first Friday beginning around 4:30. We will not be having any refreshments because we want to make sure everybody knows you need to keep your mask on. And again, like I said, we haven't created this event for stopping and just really focusing on any one thing for a very long time. So it'll be just an opportunity to visit the museum and experience the soundscape of poems and look through the exhibit one last time maybe and talk with our curator. And then we'll still be open Sunday the 3rd from 10 to 4 and Monday the 4th from 2 to 6. And then on the 5th of October, we're just 10 to 4, Tuesday through Saturday until the spring. So
great. Well, thanks for taking the time to visit with us today, Beth Weigel, director of the Juno Douglas City Museum. I really appreciate all that you had to share today.
Thank you so much, Shelley.